you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Invite you to open your Bible with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6 is in the front part of the Bible, known as the Old Testament. If you didn't bring a Bible, there should be one in front of you there. And Deuteronomy 6 is going to be on page 151 if you're using the Bible in the row in front of you. If you didn't bring a Bible, come see me when we're finished this morning. If you don't have a Bible, I'll make sure that everybody has one. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This morning, we're beginning a new series called Growing Strong Families. It's actually the fifth year that this church has identified this subject as one of our strategic initiatives or one of our goals that we really, really desire to pursue as a church family. And the reason that we believe that growing strong families is such a big deal is because, as you just read the scripture, it's clear that families are a really big deal to God. Families are God's idea to begin with. And so if families are a big deal to God, then we want to do everything that we can as a church family to help equip all of our families to grow strong, whatever our family dynamics may look like in this season of life. And as we begin to understand what it is that God says through His Word, through the Holy Bible, what He has to say about families, what we soon will see is that strong families have strong faith. Would you just say that out loud with me? Let's make this declaration on three. One, two, three. Strong families have strong faith. Strong families have strong faith. So if you want to grow strong in your family, you're going to want to develop a plan to grow strong in your faith together as a family, whatever your family dynamic looks like. If you're a single adult with nobody else living in the house right now, that's your family. And so what's your plan to grow strong as a one-person family in this season of life? Maybe you've got foster kids or your grandparents raising kids. Whatever your family dynamic looks like, what's your plan to grow strong and faithful to be who God desires you to be in this season of life? See, it's here where sometimes we can kind of get off track if we're not careful. See, the place where our faith will start growing the best is actually a place that we may not intuitively expect it. We may expect, man, if I'm going to grow strong in my family and grow strong in my faith, then I need to make sure that I'm a part of a thriving church. And that's good, but that's actually not where faith starts. Our faith does not start at church. It starts somewhere else. Faith starts at home. Would you make that declaration with me on three? One, two, three. Faith starts at home. See, whether you're a parent or a grandparent, maybe you just desire to be a parent. You're not a parent yet. Maybe you're a single adult who's longing to be married, to be a parent one day, or you're a single adult who does have a kid or multiple kids, or you're a product of parents. Here's what we do know. Dr. John Trent says this, faith formation starts at home, for better or for worse. Faith formation starts at home, for better or for worse. I want you to listen to what Dr. Kurt Bruner and Dr. Steve Stroop say. They say this on the very first page of chapter one in their book that this series is springboarding off of, called It Starts at Home, A Practical Guide to Nurturing Lifelong Faith. If you only read one book besides the Bible this year, As somebody who wants to grow strong in your faith and strong families at home, I encourage you to pick up this book right here. It starts at home. Listen to what they say. They say the home is the primary context of our spiritual formation, for better or for worse. God wired us for flesh and blood relationships with a mom, a dad, a spouse, a child, and others who profoundly shape our perception and experience of the faith, whether they intend to or not. This book is our invitation for you to become highly intentional about fulfilling your God-ordained role at home, and in the process, giving your family something better than you might have received. I was leading a life group this morning. Parenting in the early years. My wife, Allison, and I are co-leading that class. And one of the couples that was in there mentioned, man, that's what I want to do. Something better than we've received. I was just like, man, yes, yes, yes. As great as your family may have been growing up, your experience growing up, or as difficult as it might have been, you have the opportunity to grow strong in your family and grow strong in your faith. You have that opportunity. And this little book right here, man, if you were to read through my copy, I read it for the first time about 5 years ago. And I mean, it is dog-eared and underlined and highlighted, and I've got it clipped. And this is a great, great resource. And I love these men are inviting us into a conversation, inviting us into a lifelong walk toward faith development. And they are offering to help people like you and like me, like us, to cultivate our faith, our own faith, and also to cultivate a healthy faith for our families. See, we can grow a legacy-leaving faith, the kind of faith that we want to experience personally and also that God desires. God desires for us to foster this faith and obtain that kind of faith that not only is going to lead to growing strong families, but also it's the kind of faith that's going to be able to last. The kind of faith that's going to be able to be passed down from generation to generation. I mean, that's the kind of faith that I want. That's the kind of faith that my wife Allison wants. That's the kind of faith that we want our kids, Jack and Lucy, to have. And hopefully, Lord willing, someday our grandkids to have. And man, if somebody is willing to help us get there, I'm all ears. If somebody's going to help point me in that direction, let me know. I mean, I don't know about you. Maybe you've just got this parenting thing down and you're in the process of writing your own book. Let me know when you have it written because I want to read it. I mean, if somebody is willing to help me grow strong and help Allison grow strong in our marriage and in our family and cultivate a strong and healthy faith that's going to last, I want those kind of experts on my team, yes? I mean, am I crazy or do we need some help when it comes to growing strong families? We need all the help that we can get. And here's the reality. The reality is this. There is no one person who has more influence in my kid's life, in Allison's kid's life. Those are our kids. There's nobody that has more influence than the two of us do. Nobody has more influence in our kids' lives than we do because we are their parents. Men and women, nothing impacts the trajectory and the direction of a child's life more than the relationship with their parents. Nothing. So Allison and I, we've got two kids. We've been parents now almost 14 years, both of us have been very, very blessed to come from strong families, not perfect families, but strong families, faith families that have passed that faith down to us. Man, we are grateful. We still like to be with our family and connect with our families, and we've got tight relationships with our families. And even though sometimes it's hard, we know there's a rich legacy that has been handed down. And yet, man, there's still times where she and I both, we kind of feel clueless, like, oh, man, I don't even know what to do. What do we do here? Are we ever going to get out of this stage of life, man? And we're together in this. And as I think about that, I tell you, I am really amazed at the single moms. I'm really amazed at the single dads. I'm really amazed at the grandparents they've already raised their kids, and now they're all but raising their grandkids or helping to raise their grandkids, and they've got to figure out how they're going to do all this stuff in their life as best they can. And even though it's hard, faith starts in their homes too. Faith starts in their homes too. And whether we realize it or not, for better or for worse, faith formation in our families starts where? At home. It starts at home. And what studies show in our culture today is that unfortunately we are losing more and more of our own children to unbelief. We are raising a generation who are walking away from the faith, either overtly or they are passively drifting away from the faith, rather than embracing and nurturing a faith that's founded in Jesus Christ and that is grounded in the Word of God. Did you know that for the first time in church history, many of those who are most inclined toward belief, our own children, they are actively rejecting or they are passively abandoning the faith. Now, why is that? Why is that? What does that mean? Well, that means that even though you may be raising your kids or raising your grandkids to grow up in church, the statistics are clear that when many of our kids, even those kids who have grown up in church, when they head out and they walk across the stage and they get their graduation degree, their diploma, their high school degree, and it's time for them to then move on to the next stage in life and move on to college or to a career or the military after high school, an overwhelming majority are actively rejecting the faith or they are passively drifting away from the faith that they were exposed to as they were growing up. So why is that? Well, the problem, according to many, many experts who study this field, who research these faith issues, these faith trends in our culture, they believe this: the problem is not what is happening at church. They are seeing that many, many kids are growing up in church, and that's a good thing. They're here on Sunday. They may be here on Wednesday. But what desperately needs to happen is not what's happening at church on one or two days a week, but it's what's happening in the home every day of the week. And our studies that we've read and researched, one study summarized these findings like this: despite an enormous investment of time and money into some of the most innovative and effective church programs in the history of Christianity, generational faith transference is in serious decline. What's that saying? That's saying this. You can have the greatest kids ministry in the world. You can have the greatest student ministry on the planet. You can have an incredible family ministry with the coolest and the hippest staff and the latest and the greatest programming. And unless something is happening on a day in, day out basis in the home where those kids live, in an intentional manner that's growing strong families, the transfer of our faith to our kids and to our grandkids will continue to be in decline. Bruner and Stroop, in their book, they give an incredible metaphor that just totally connected with me in the book that I've shared this with you about 5 years ago. It's so connected with me that I wanted to share it with you again, because sometimes we just need to see it. And so if these two flowers here represent my two kids, Jack and Lucy, and I've been entrusted by God to raise my kids, to nurture my kids, to develop a faith in their life. And I know, man, I've got to be careful. I've got to be intentional. I've got to be in their life day in and day out. And I'm going, man, these little roots, they are delicate. And so these are my responsibility to see that they grow and flourish and are nurtured. And I know, man, this is my responsibility to make sure that faith formation is happening in my kids. Well, where can I go to get some help? I know. I'll go to church. They'll help me. They know what they're doing. And so I bring them to church and I get them involved in church, and they're here when the doors are open, and I'm here, and man, they're going to pour the water of the Word of God and what it means to be a follower of Jesus onto their lives. And they can just be here week in and week out, and that water just rolls off of them. And I'm going, well, maybe if we went to a different church, a little bigger church, I mean, that's okay, but look at this one. It's even kind of got a neat little nozzle up here that controls the water flow, and, you know, more programming, more people, cooler staff, cooler programming, better videos, better food. I mean, let's go over there and see what they can do over there. Maybe they'll help me over there. And it'll be a better situation over there. And maybe it won't kind of run off on them quite so much over there. You see where this is going. You're going to church hop from place to place, ministry to ministry, next best thing to next best thing. And until those little roots get planted in the fertile soil of a home, whatever the dynamic looks like, they will not grow to be who God designed them to be. But when they get planted inside a healthy, connected environment, not perfect, and they come alongside the church, whether it's this church or whether it's this church over here, or heck, whether you're trying to raise your kids over in a new home church in Germany, faith will not grow strong until it's planted and growing day in and day out at home. Because faith doesn't start at church. Faith starts where? Say it with me. At home. Faith starts at home. Roots only grow if planted in soil. And yet an entire generation of parents seems to have missed God's design. Faith must be nurtured in the rich soil of a God-honoring family, whether that's one parent or two parents, multiple households, custody, whatever it looks like for you, it's got to be nurtured day in and day out. The church's role is to help provide the water, but the lifelong faith requires deep and abiding roots. Just listen to these facts that Bruner and Stroop give in their book. Several studies have shown that the vast majority of those who ever become believers in Jesus Christ do so as minors. How many of you became a follower of Jesus as a minor? Just raise your hand. I did. Second grade. So many of you. Do you know that there is a 32% likelihood of someone becoming a believer in Jesus before the age of 13? That number drops to a 4% likelihood during the teenage years. And that number again drops to a 6% likelihood during the remaining decades of a person's life, as far as coming to faith in Christ. So maybe there's a reason that Jesus said to his disciples that they should bring the little kids to him. There seems to be this limited window of time where people are most inclined to becoming a follower of Jesus, putting their faith, hope, and trust in Jesus. And it's when those precious years of our kids have those tender roots that seek the nourishment of the faith in the context of a believing family. And yet what survey after survey after survey says is that the parents and the grandparents and the families all tend to want help fulfilling this responsibility to instill faith in their children, in their grandchildren. They know that it's their job. But many of them also just have this keen awareness that time is going and I feel like I'm failing with this faith transference thing. And they want the church to help them take some next steps, some baby steps. Somebody help me figure this out. Hey, friends, we're all in this thing together. We're all in this thing together. Now, please hear me. As the pastor of this church, we're not going to raise your kids for you. Okay? That only will lead to more and more decline in our kids drifting away from the faith. So let's figure something out. Let's figure, how can we work together? How can we shoulder in together? How can we link arms together as a church family? Let's figure out how we can resource one another through implementing both new and existing models that are proven and showing measurable results in faith transference from generation to generation. That's why we've created this whole space right through those doors. It's called the Home Life Center. It's not just to get a great cup of coffee, which you can get a great cup of coffee over there, but there are resources in that center that aren't just there to kind of be a decorative, neat thing. They are there for you so that when you're going through the different seasons of life, dealing with different circumstances, different issues in life, you've got a place to go and say, where do I start? Well, here's some resources. Here's where we can help. Here's where you can go next. Do you know that on our website at arapahoeroad.org, when it comes up, you can just scroll down a little bit. You'll see a little home icon there, and you can click right on that home life, that faith starts at home, little symbol, and it's got resources right at your fingertips. Some of you are going to check out from what I'm going to say the rest of the time and go, I got to see what's there because I need help right now. Well, hang with me. You can do that at lunch, okay? Or all afternoon. Stars don't play today. They tied it up yesterday. So you got from now until tomorrow night, the stars start to figure out how you're going to raise your kids perfectly, okay? I'm just kidding. We're not going to raise your kids for you, but man, we'll resource, we'll figure it out together. Hey, you know what? How many of you have heard Rome wasn't built in a day? You ever heard that? Rome wasn't built in a day. But you know what happened to Rome? It did get built. You can go to Rome today. Now, it looks a little different today than it did way back when. But day after day, it got built. It got built. Day after day of working hard, working together with vision, with a plan, it led to greatness and strength and a legacy. And because I believe that God wants to build something great here among and through the people of Arapahoe Road Baptist Church and among the community where this church has been planted, that begins to change not only this church but our community, but that can grow up children and families who one day will change the whole world. Man, that's why I'm so fired up about our partnership with Lionheart. Because half of the families who are enrolled at Lionheart are from unchurched families. You go, why does that fire you up? Because we have an opportunity to share the gospel with them and help them understand faith doesn't start at church. Faith starts at home. Let us come alongside and resource. You go, you keep saying that, but where does it actually say that in the Bible? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Let's look back at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's just look at verses 4 through 9 briefly this morning, then we'll dive into it a bit deeper next week. Here's what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6 about faith starting at home. Beginning in verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be where? On your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This passage is really beneficial to the whole family, but it really, really speaks to parents. And how God tells moms and dads, grandmothers and grandfathers, aunts and uncles, how to grow strong families when it comes to raising our kids and raising our grandkids and our families in ways that's going to bring great glory to God and that's going to leave a lasting legacy of faith. We'll dig in deeper next week, but today I just want to introduce you to just a couple of ideas from these verses before we wrap up. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, as you heard Dan mention earlier in our service, it's a famous Old Testament passage that's known as the Shema. Say Shema with me. Shema. Shema is the Hebrew word that simply means to hear or to listen. That's how this passage starts off. Hear, O Israel. Listen up, O people of God. Hear what I'm saying to you. And you know what God is saying to his people in this passage of Scripture? He is saying that he created life to be lived in the context of healthy, growing relationships. Family relationships. Life gets nurtured in the context of healthy family relationships. And as you grow strong families of faith, you pass that faith down in such ways that teach, that demonstrate day in and day out and day in and day out what it looks like to grow strong. To grow strong in your family, to grow strong in your faith in every single area of your life. The Shema, Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9, is all about cultivating healthy relationships. It's about cultivating a healthy relationship with your Creator God and cultivating healthy relationships with those who need to know God. and live their lives for the glory of God. It's what we mean when we talk about being a people who are in community and on mission. When we talk about being in community, think about the cross, the two beams of the cross. There's a vertical beam, there's a horizontal beam. Being in community vertically in a relationship that's growing with our Father, the one who's in heaven, hallowed be his name. A relationship through Jesus Christ, the Son, empowered by the Holy Spirit, guided by the Word of God. A vertical relationship that we are in community with, as well as a horizontal relationship, horizontal communities with our family, with our friends who are trying to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in every area of our life. That's why we have life groups here, is to get connected with other people who are trying to follow Jesus so that you're not out there just stumbling and bumbling and falling down alone, but you're in it with somebody else who can go, you can do this. This is what worked for me. Well, here's how you can pray for me. Well, let's go get coffee and talk about it a little bit more. It's community, community, community. That's the Shema. We have one God, the Lord our God. And we're to love him with all of who we are, from the top of our head to the bottom of our toes, with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength. And we're to grow in those relationships, the faith-filled relationships with God, with our families, with our friends. And all of that starts not at church, but at home. At home. I mean, I'm not making that up. It's right there in black and white. From the lips of God to our hearts, just as we read it. Look again in verses 6 and 7. And these words that I command you today shall be where? On your heart. Underline that. On your heart. You, mom, you, dad, you, grandparent, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit where? In your house. Not in the church, in your house. And when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Isn't that beautiful? These words of faith are to be where? On your heart, mom. On your heart, dad. In your house, that's where faith starts. Faith starts at home. It doesn't end there. It goes with you. When you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise, Eugene Peterson calls all that our everyday walking around life. That's where faith goes, in our everyday walking around life. But where does God's word, from God's lips to our hearts, start? Faith starts at home. And we're all in this thing together. We're all trying to move forward in health to becoming who God wants us to become as moms and dads, families, grandparents. And faith is going to start in every single one of our homes, whatever our home dynamics look like. So no, you're not perfect today. Can everybody just take a deep breath and relax for a second? Okay, you're not alone in your imperfection, okay? So what kinds of steps can we start making together? What kinds of things can we start doing when we are in our homes that will begin to cultivate a strong family, a family of faith, a family with a lasting legacy? Don't be afraid. Relax. Let's just start walking from where we are toward what God wants us to become. Church family, when it talks about God's word being in your heart there in verse 6, it is talking about a heart-to-heart relationship that you as an individual have with your Creator God. Do you have that? If you do, have you been nurturing that, or has it kind of been a little disconnected? Maybe this morning, as we start this new series, it's time to replant your life, replant your faith, replant your home, and say, I'm going to tend this. I'm going to be a part of being intentional on this, growing day by day, week by week, year by year. Some of you think about that and you're just going, man, that just got real intimidating real fast to think beyond lunch today. Okay. But would you just take the month of May? Would you just take the month of May? Would you start today and then take the month of May and go, I hear you, Pastor. I'm not outsourcing faith to you and to the church and to the staff, but can we come alongside? Absolutely. If you'll just make the commitment to be here throughout the month of May, and you'll make the commitment today to start walking from where you are toward who God wants you to become, I believe that if you'll make that commitment, God will meet you more than halfway. And wherever you are today will not be where you are at the end of May. And you go, okay, well what am I supposed to do at home? What is it that you want me to do? You want me to read the whole Bible? That'd be awesome. But I'll take a zero on that, thank you. That is too much. Well, where should I start? On page one? Well, you can, but I really encourage you to do this. Here's what I'm going to do. If you want to walk with me, do this. The book of Proverbs, it's right in the middle. There's 31 Proverbs, okay? 31 chapters. There's usually between 30 and 31 days in a month, right? Today is what? It's April the 28th. So today, I'm going to go to Proverbs 28. And I'm just going to start reading through Proverbs 28. I'm going to read just that proverb from verse 1 to the end. And then I'm just going to go back and go, man, is there one that really connects with me? And tomorrow, it's the 29th. So guess what I'm going to read tomorrow? Proverbs 29. And the next day, Proverbs. Yeah. Oh, there's only 30 days in April. What am I going to do with Proverbs 31? Leave it to May. And on April, or May the 1st, what are you going to read? Proverbs chapter? Proverbs chapter 1. Proverb a day. Keep the devil away. Maybe not. But it'll at least give you some truth to consider. What else could I do? Well, why don't you put these up here? Well, when you're having a mealtime, we do high-low pray. You go, what's high-low pray? High-low pray. When we gather, whether it's one meal during the week or a couple of meals or whatever our schedules look like, we find one time to sit down and we talk about what's the high point of your day, what's the low point of your day. And we just talk about that with Jack and Lucy, and Allison and I talk about that together. If you're on a business trip or you travel during the week, text in. This was my high point, this was my low point, and text back and forth or FaceTime back and forth. And do it before bed. Second thing you can do is this, proverb a day. Proverb a day. We just talked about that. Third thing, my prayer life's kind of suffering right now, so I'm going to get back into this. You go, wait a minute, you're the pastor. You're getting paid to pray. I know, but I want it to come out of less of a job description and more of a heart. So can I just be that open with you? So what am I going to be praying? I'm going to pray daily for my family. Then I'm going to pray twice this week with Allison. Just two times. You go, but there's 7 days in a week. I know, but sometimes our schedules are like this. And I'm going to pray five times with my kids this week. Mealtimes count. Bedtime counts. You go, man, that's too much. Then just pick one. Just pick one. Just pick one. And start there. Can I pray for you before we take a moment to just sing and respond, and we'll be out of here in a few minutes. I want to invite our worship team up, but I want to pray for you. Lord, faith can be a daunting thing to consider. And yet really it was meant to just be a day-by-day walk with you. So as we think about the things that we've heard today, and we consider what it means to grow strong in our families and home, I pray for each person who's in this room, Lord, that you would encourage them, that you would help them take a deep breath and go, okay, Rome wasn't built in a day, but it did get built. I have a responsibility to leave a lasting legacy of faith. Lord, I don't want my kids to reject the faith or drift away from it. I want to engage today in a way that's going to be helpful. Maybe you've already got kids that are out of the nest and you're going, man, I don't know what to do there. You start working on you and you start praying for them. There will be an opportunity for you to re-engage if you'll trust God to provide that avenue. You walk day by day with Him. A proverb a day, a prayer a day, a conversation, and you see what God does at the end of May.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. We hope you'll join us this week.